And we're back here. It is hour number 215, coming up on 16 minutes past the hour, and we're having a very interesting conversation this morning about instant coffee versus regular coffee. Now, this is an interesting conversation. You know, every time I say the word interesting now, I think in my mind, I'm saying that too much. Because that, I guess, has become a word that's now associated with me, saying the word interesting. But the conversation this morning is about instant coffee versus regular coffee. And why is there such a difference? Because it's kind of weird when you think about it. Hot chocolate is made in packets. Most people don't brew hot chocolate. And tea used to be brewed on a pot, I guess on your stove, but most people just dunk the tea bag now. And a lot of people like instant tea. But coffee is one of those things where instant coffee just seems to be the last resort. Now, why is that? Why is instant coffee the last resort? Now, we had a call right before we went to break there where we learned that instant coffee is already brewed coffee. So, I guess my question is, why is there even instant coffee? Why would you want something that was already brewed? What is the point of that? Because making coffee is not exactly a very long process. And for me, who's not a coffee drinker, what makes a good cup of coffee as opposed to a bad cup of coffee? Why do people love Starbucks? Why do people love Tim Hortons? Why do people love certain local restaurants that have a good cup of coffee? And what is a bad cup of coffee? That's what we want to know here. What is the big difference? Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a very interesting conversation.
I think so, too.
Well, I want to tell you about, I have a jar of cheap instant coffee sitting on my shelf. And the only reason I have that there, and the only thing I do with that, is I coffee dye paper with it. I wouldn't drink it.
You coffee dye paper with the instant coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the purpose of instant coffee for people who actually do drink it?
If you get up in the morning, you don't have any other coffee in the house, and you think you can't crawl out to your car.
So it's the expediency of it.
That has to be it. Like the one of the callers said before, there used to be something called Taster's Choice, and they freeze-dried it, and that made it more palatable. I think, it's like anything else when you freeze it, I think that helps to sustain the flavor better. But to me, instant coffee is like something that you're drinking that has absolutely no oil, the taste of the oil to it. That's what I sense from it.
Now, what makes a good cup of coffee as opposed to a bad?
Well, good coffee, obviously.
So there are different tastes.
Yeah, oh yeah, and then some of them are mild, some of them are very strong. I'm drinking one right here this morning that's very strong. It's not because it's been sitting around. It was Folgers. I think it's kind of a medium roast. There's different roasts you will see on the side of the thing. But last week, my friend brought in some 8 o'clock coffee. He said he said, tastes different to him. And I thought, oh, yeah, bring it in here to me. And I brewed a pot, and it was just delicious. So sometimes it just all depends upon your taste. But I wanted to tell you, too, you know, you said you couldn't drink it with milk.
Yeah, for some, I've tried that, and to me, that makes the taste even worse.
Well, I'll tell you what I use. There's a specific reason for it, but I use heavy whipping cream in my coffee.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, you know, here the thing of it is, I don't know where this milk and coffee came from. I think that's becoming maybe a little bit of a bygone thing.
Well, my guess would be that when I was a child, they gave you coffee. They'd pour some coffee out because it was hot. Then they'd put milk in there. And then usually a little sugar, and then they put some bread in it.
Well, it's interesting because my grandmother, who, when I think about coffee, that's who I think about.
Mm-hmm.
Because she would, long after she stopped working, every morning, that's the first thing she did.
Mm-hmm.
She brewed a pot, mm-hmm. and she lived alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And throughout the day, she could drink coffee all day long.
Yeah.
And that was really her preferred drink, to be honest. She was not a soda drinker. She was not a Kool-Aid drinker.
Uh-huh.
She might have a pop here or there if she wanted something cold, but she drank coffee. There was always a coffee cup on her table.
Mm-hmm.
And always, and I never under, and she put the milk in it. She was a, that's all she ever added to it, mm-hmm. was a little bit of milk.
Right.
And I think she went to creamer later on in her life. But I never understood how in the summer you could drink coffee at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, sometimes, you know, when it gets, if you don't have air conditioning or, you know, push comes to shove, I truly enjoy iced coffee as well. I'll just put a big glass of, fill up with ice and then brew my coffee, put my creamer in it, and then pour it over the ice. And to me, that's absolutely delicious too. And I do not use sugar. I don't use a sweetener in it.
You know what's funny? The caller earlier on, you have to think about what you say on the air here. The caller earlier on asked me if I like the iced coffee cap. I don't even think I've had one now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds ridiculous. But I, you know, honestly, I don't think I've, I know I've had milkshakes. I know I've had, oh gosh, I just don't know if I've ever even had one of those. Now, are those just sweeter? Is that the idea?
I guess I don't partake of them. I kind of try to stay away from anything that's got a sweet, you know, sugar.
Well, you know what I noticed a few years ago, and I'm sure a lot of people noticed this, is when the restaurants, particularly Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, and places like that, came out with their own blends and started to sell it in stores.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my understanding was is that the Dunkin' Donuts blend was a little sweeter. That was the idea.
Oh, okay. Well,
but I don't know. I've never tasted it.
That's what they refer to as donut coffee.
Donut coffee, I guess. I don't know why you couldn't just drop a donut in there. That would sweeten the thing right up.
Okay.
I don't... Well, you know, it's interesting to me because coffee does smell good.
Oh, sure.
And a lot of people have coffee... candles, and a lot of people, I've known people who brew coffee just for the smell.
Well, I've heard of people that absolutely will not drink it, do not drink coffee, but they just could live on the smell. So it affects, that's just how it affects people in different ways, but I just grew up on it because I remember them making that for me when I was a little girl. And back then, I remember Grandma Steinhelfer putting evaporated milk in it.
Well,
she always had a can of evaporated milk.
You know what? There are certain events, I think, in your childhood that can turn you off to certain things.
Uh-huh.
Now, I like hot chocolate, as I've said. Or I can drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Better than I can drink coffee, but I'm not a fan. Now, here is why I think I'm not a fan of hot chocolate. I think I've traced this back. When I was in elementary school, I was one of the patrols, which I don't even know if they have those anymore. A crossing guard, I guess, is what they called them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go out early in the morning before school started with the orange flag with somebody else. And on the streets, we would go out there and stand in front of the cars and let the kids pass by. Why we did that, I have no idea. Like we were going to stop somebody. You know, a fifth grader was going to stop somebody.
It was an awareness.
I guess. And... on cold mornings, cold December, January, February, March mornings, when you would come in from doing this, they would tell you to go down to the cafeteria because the lunch ladies would have hot chocolate for you.
Okay.
But how they made their hot chocolate was they would boil water in a pot, and then they would drop Hershey bars in it.
Oh.
And that was their version of hot chocolate. So when it got to you, it looked like hot chocolate, but it had these chunks of chocolate floating around in it.
And no milk?
No, I don't think there was any milk involved.
Oh, it was chocolate and it was hot.
Hot, they were going for the real definition.
Oh, you were scarred for life, Scott.
Well, I was, and I think it is. But, you know, I think I've told this story a few years ago. Why this was a gift, I have no idea, because the person who got it for me knows I'm not a coffee drinker. And they got me a Keurig.
Uh-huh. Oh boy.
And but they got me a Keurig with the Swiss Miss hot chocolate packets.
Yeah.
Now I will admit, just to try out the Keurig, I did have maybe 3-4 glasses of that.
Uh-huh.
But I still have the box, you know, with the Swiss Miss in it, and I still have the Keurig. Now, Charlie told me, I think his wife gave me, I know she did, she gave me some of the little teacups that you could put in it.
Yeah.
I haven't tried that yet.
Well, that's pretty good, too. There's a lot of different ways to use your Keurig. You know, you don't have to just brew coffee in it.
A lot of ways to skin it. Is Keurig German?
Yes,
yeah.
I think.
So those are German coffee pots.
Well, doesn't it make sense?
I don't even know where they came from. I was unaware of this whole thing.
Won't swear to it.
Our coffee pots were just a little too difficult for people.
Well, I think, did I tell you that my friend and I, we were making cowboy coffee? I don't know if I told you about that or not.
No, what is cowboy coffee?
Well, that's just another way to brew coffee, you know, and I can't tell you exactly how to do it, but you bring water to a boil, and then you just dump your coffee right in there. And we learned about it on, computer, on internet. And, of course, we had to make cowboy coffee because he likes cowboys anyways. And that's supposed to be the best coffee you can make, because have you ever watched a cowboy show where they weren't drinking coffee?
When you said cowboy coffee, what I thought was maybe you use like a cowboy hat for a filter.
No.
No. See, that's what came to mind.
You stir it up with the spurs.
You stir it up with the spurs. This whole conversation is fascinating because... I think there are a lot of people who don't like coffee who drink it just, for years it went hand in hand with college students because they needed to stay up for exams and whatever.
Right.
And people have used it for a stimulant, but I don't know, does it really stimulate? Does it stimulate? Keep you awake?
Oh, it's stopped stimulating me a long time ago. I mean, you know, when you drink so much. That is not what I use it for, a stimulant. I don't even think of, because I'll hear people saying, I got to go get some more coffee. Or they'll say, I'm just shaking, I've had too much coffee. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the caffeine content is in coffee. But the other aspect of this whole thing really is, people who have had heart conditions or things, who have to go to decaf.
Oh.
Yeah, see, now, that's... What is that? Why is that a problem?
That's not... Well, it's just not the same.
Well, what's different? What's different about decaf coffee?
Oh, I don't know. I heard one time something about they take something to do with salt. They make it, I don't know. I don't even want to learn about it because I just don't... people, when they ask me if I want decaf fluorescence, I said, are you kidding? I'll sleep all night.
I don't know. Maybe somebody out there is on decaf now because I don't know why. All I know is that the can is green.
Well, that should tell you right there.
Right there. The can is green. So I think of a decaf as like St. Patrick's Day coffee.
Well, which one was it that was always so popular? It was Sanka?
Sanka.
Yeah, okay, that was one of the first real popular ones, wasn't it?
Well, Irish coffee is when you add some alcohol to it.
Oh, yeah, well, that's, you're getting into another hole.
Well, is there a certain alcohol that you, is it like,
Is it cream, what is it, cream de menthe, or?
I know a lot of people go crazy with the creamers now, too. Now, see, I think that's cheating because...
No.
No, I think it is because here's why. I think that they don't really like coffee. I think they just like the taste of the creamer.
Well, if you've got a flavored creamer, yeah, because I always kind of glance sideways at people putting flavored creamer.
Yeah.
Like, what's that for?
That's what I think, too. I think why you've got this big thing of, like, I don't even know what the brands are, but it's clearly got a lot of sugar in it and a lot of taste in it. Now, that's not coffee.
Well, it does all, yes, that's for sure. It's kind of like ordering one of those fancy-dancy drinks, you know, that you get at that fancy place.
That fancy place.
I don't know, but I did want to tell you that you might try sometimes if you got some heavy whipping cream in the refrigerator.
I'll give that a shot.
Okay.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Well, we are certainly on the coffee conversation this morning. Now, has anybody had to switch over to decaf? And can explain to me what is the problem with decaf? Because we now know that the problem with instant coffee, apparently it's already brewed coffee. And apparently the only reason that somebody would want to go with instant coffee is to get the coffee quicker. I guess if you're in a hurry. But what is so bad about the taste of decaf coffee that it's just a forbidden thing? Can anybody tell me about the perils of decaf coffee? Give me a call, 740-383-9944. And I know that these creamers that people buy now that clearly have sugar and all kinds of things in them. Now, does that totally kill the taste of the coffee when you put these creamers in there? I don't know if it does or not. It looks like it would, because there are a lot of things in there that I think would change the compilation of the coffee. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a ring. I'd love to hear from you. Don't forget, today at 4 o'clock is the last day to get your tickets for the big VIP reception for the Wings and Wheels show coming up this Friday, September 13th, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Hangar 12, Marion Municipal Airport. There'll be a lot of heavy hors d'oeuvres, Dr. Harold Brown's documentary, Tuskegee Airmen, one of the few remaining Tuskegee Airmen, Dr. Harold Brown, will be there. $50 donation to the 501c3 Wings Wheels Incorporated. Go to the website, wingswheelsmarion.org, or the Facebook page. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, did you ever drink Tab Cola?
You know, I never have.
Well, it has an aftertaste, and that's what decaf coffee reminds me of. Tastes kind of like coffee, but after you drink it, you get that, I'm still tasting the coffee.
So what decaf coffee is essentially what the title is. It's decaffeinated coffee.
Yeah, reduced. It's supposed to be like 95% caffeine-free.
So taking out the caffeine causes an aftertaste.
It does to me.
Okay. Now, is there any other difference between regular coffee and decaf coffee?
As far as I know, no.
That's it.
Some people would drink a half a cup, so they're getting half the caffeine in a regular cup of coffee.
Huh. Well, that's that's interesting. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Coffee is the conversation this morning. Give me a ring if you have something to say, 740-383-9944. It's all very interesting because what are the big differences between caffeinated coffee and decaffeinated coffee? Apparently an aftertaste is one of them. And what do you make of all these things now that you can put into coffee? All these creamers and special things that you can put in. Also, I do think it's interesting that these restaurants now have their own blends of coffee. Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, the whole bit. Go ahead.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Decaf coffee, that's what I'd usually drink. To me, it's not near as strong. It doesn't. If your coffee's too strong, to me, it's bitter. And I have drank decaf for a long, long time. But I have made cowboy coffee and didn't know it until now. But I used to put coffee grounds in a little pan with water and bring it to a boil and let it steep. And then you pour it into your cup.
So now what makes cowboy coffee better than doing it in the coffee pot?
It doesn't. Just quicker.
Just quicker?
Yes.
So as far as decaf coffee, then, you prefer the decaf coffee?
I do. I can drink the other, but a lot of times I'll weaken it down with some water. To me, it's strong. I've got a niece that her husband just wants it so strong. And I have kind of got used to drinking that when she comes over because I'll make it stronger, but My favorite is the decaffeinated Folgers. decaffeinated.
Now, when you make coffee, if you're going to make a full pot, what is the right, because it doesn't really tell you. Is it just one scoop?
A full pot, you mean the cowboy?
Yeah.
I think it's just whatever your desire is, you know, how strong you want it. I don't know. I just pour coffee in, and if it gets too strong, you just add water to it.
Huh.
And, but, yes, it's good.
Well, it's interesting because I don't know. I've the one part of making, because I've made coffee for other people, that I always worry about is when you take it out of the jar,
mm-hmm.
how much coffee should you put in the filter for a full pot to make it good coffee?
When you look on a can of coffee, it says 1 tablespoon per cup. That is way too much. Way, way, way too much. And, if he's making 10 or 12 cup of coffee, that would be 12 tablespoons of coffee. And, my, I can't imagine what that would taste like. So,
well, hey, I thank you for the call.
Yeah, and by the way, you do need to try the iced cappuccino.
I'm going to have to because I thought about it, and I don't think I've had one. Now, what is the taste of that like?
Oh, it's... Oh, my golly, I can't tell you. It's just a taste that you just get addicted to it. At least I do. I can't hardly go by Tim Hortons without stopping in there and getting a cappuccino. But it has a mild taste of coffee, and I think that's why it tastes good. I mean, anybody that doesn't like coffee, they won't even try it, but if they don't know that coffee is in that, I don't think they would realize it.
Even give it a second thought.
Yes.
Well, hey, I'll have to try that. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, this is a whole other aspect, the iced cappuccino. Because I'm not sure when cappuccino came on the market big time. I'm sure it's been around for a long time. But it got really popular. I'm going to say in the 90s, and obviously through now it's very popular. But you don't hear much anymore about warm cappuccino. Now, there did used to be warm cappuccino that was kind of a coffee alternative. But cappuccino was not a bottomless cup. And I remember for a while a very popular gift to give at Christmas or a birthday was a cappuccino maker. But I don't know what the difference was between cappuccino and coffee. But I do know, as I say, coffee was usually a bottomless cup in a restaurant. But if you went to a restaurant that had cappuccino, that was not a bottomless cup. And a matter of fact, the cappuccino was far more expensive than the coffee. Now, we've gotten to this thing now. Here's another aspect to this coffee conversation. We do now have iced coffee. We have iced cappuccino and we have iced coffee. Now, what is the thinking behind that? Does putting ice in coffee change the coffee all that much? Or why do you think people prefer iced coffee to regular coffee, warm coffee? Because it's kind of like for years we've always had warm tea and iced tea. Now, warm tea and iced tea have a little bit of a different taste, I guess. But see, a lot of people with their iced tea, they'll put lemon in it, and they'll do stuff like that. But, you know, essentially, I guess they have the same taste. I've had warm tea and iced tea. They pretty well have the same taste. One's cool, one's warm. That's about the only thing that I can discern from them. But why iced coffee? Why iced cappuccino? And do they even still sell warm cappuccino? I have not heard of that for a long time, and I have not heard of a cappuccino maker in somebody's home for a long time. And that used to be a very high-class gift that you could give for a long time. Let me know, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Interesting conversation we're having here. Good conversation for a show that's on early in the day. 39 coming up on 40 minutes past the hour. Telephone number 740-383-9944. About 20 minutes left here. We still do have our trivia questions. Tickets to the Columbus Zoo, tickets to Jack Hanna's Wilds, a Huntsman Auto oil change, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for automobiles only. Or if you just want to call in and answer the question, we do have that option as well. Does anybody know the local Marion business, which is still in business, that sponsored the broadcast of the final charity ball? The final charity ball was in 2007. That was the 80th charity ball. Does anybody know the local business that is still in business that sponsored the broadcast of the final charity ball? Does anybody know WMRN Radio's slogan in 1947? So this would have been very early. What was radio station WMRN's slogan in 1947? What was the estimated attendance at the county fairs, the Marion County Fair and the surrounding county fairs here, in 1945? What was the estimated county fair attendance? Who was the mayor of Marion in 1941? Does anybody know the mayor of Marion in 1941? What is the name of the Marion Popcorn Festival's mascot? I can't believe we don't have this one answered yet. Does anybody know the name of the Marion Popcorn Festival's mascot? What percentage of popcorn is eaten in the home? Does anybody know? Go ahead, caller.
Well, I'm going to take a stab at the WMRN slogan, and I'm going to guess it's 1490 since 1940.
You know, you're very close. That was actually the slogan they went to after this one. But have you ever heard the story behind that slogan?
No.
It's interesting because that's what it was, 1490 since 1940. But when WMRN went on the air December 23rd, 1940, they were actually 1,500 on the dial.
Really?
They were. And they were 1,500 for about the first 10 years. And then the bigger stations started taking the top of the dial. So they made them move to 1,490. So even though that slogan came about, 1,490 since 1940, they were actually 1,500 for the first 10 years.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, boy, but that's a good guess. That's one of their very popular slogans.
Sure.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that's always a fun story to tell in Marion history, because WMRN did use that slogan, and it's perfectly fine, 1490 since 1940, because they did go on the air in 1940. But when they first went on the air, they were actually 1,500 on the dial, which is fascinating to me. Because people have forgotten that. And the big stations came in and said, you can't be 1,500. You've got to move off the top of the dial. So they moved them back down to 1,490. So there you go. Little piece of history. But 1,490 since 1940 was a long time slogan of WMRN. But it wasn't the slogan in 1947. I think this slogan that I'm talking about was probably the original slogan of the station, and was probably their slogan through the 1940s. Can anybody remember what WMRN, the AM, because there wasn't an FM in 1947, does anybody remember what their slogan would have been in 1947? Radio station WMRN, 1490 on the dial. Does anybody remember the mayor of Marion in 1941? That's an interesting question. The name of the popcorn festival mascot. Does anybody have that one down? What percentage of people eat their popcorn at home as opposed to going out? What percentage of popcorn is eaten in the home rather than eaten outside of the home? What popular 1990s television series did a parody of Bob Hope's Buttons and Bows song? Hugely popular series in the 1990s. And our final question, what famous TV clown was killed on the air? It was probably the most famous clown killed on the air, on television. Who's the most famous TV clown killed on the air? 740-383-9944. Does anybody know the answers? Let's see what we got coming in here. Whoop. Make the phones work. Go ahead, caller.
Is the mascot Poppy?
You know, here's the thing about that. That's an interesting thing, because I was at the Popcorn Festival last week, and somebody told me that the Popcorn Festival mascot was Poppy, kind of like Brody with the Bratwurst Festival. But
yeah.
I have a book here that was written about 5 years ago. Michelle Ratuno-Johnson, who was at the Marion Star at the time, wrote this book about the Popcorn Festival history, and that is not the name of the mascot, but a lot of people do think it's Poppy because of the Bratwurst Festival.
Oh, yeah, I went to the parade, and I'm pretty sure he had a tag on that said Poppy, so...
Well, this would, I guess...
Remember your question from last week.
I guess this would have been his original name.
Okay.
Okay, but... I don't know when it changed to Poppy, but it wasn't originally Poppy.
Alrighty.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, that's interesting, and maybe he did have a tag on that said Poppy, the Popcorn Festival mascot. But I don't know if that was because the Bratwurst Festival's mascot was named Brody. That's how it became Poppy. But there is a book that was written about 5 years ago on the history of the Popcorn Festival, by Michelle Ratuno-Johnson, who was at the Marion Star at the time, who is now doing something for Channel 4, WCMH in Columbus. But that was not the original name of the Popcorn Festival mascot. Does anybody know the original name of the Popcorn Festival mascot? Or is there anybody out there who knows if they have changed the name? Is it now Poppy instead of what it was originally named? I don't know. Let me know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 47 coming up on 48 minutes past the hour. Also, the other questions out there. What percentage of popcorn is eaten in the home? How much popcorn is eaten in the home, the percentage-wise? So you give me an answer between 1 and 100, you could possibly get it right. What percentage of popcorn is eaten in the home? What is the name of the Popcorn Festival mascot? Who's the most famous clown in television history to be killed on the air? What popular 90s television series did a parody of Bob Hope's song, Buttons and Bows? Who was the mayor of Marion in 1941? What was the estimated attendance at the 1945 county fairs in this area? What was the slogan of radio station WMRN in 1947? And what local Marion business sponsored the broadcast of the last charity ball back in 2007? 12 years ago. It was called the Red Carpet Reports. It was the 80th annual charity ball. It was broadcast on WMRN. Madge Cooper and myself did the broadcast. It is a local Marion business that is still in business. Does anybody know what local business that was that sponsored the broadcast of the last charity ball? And it's still in business. 740-383-9944. We've got tickets to, what do we got here? We got tickets to Jack Hanna's Wilds. We've got tickets to the Columbus Zoo. I believe the Wilds are good through the 1st of November. The Columbus Zoo are good through the end of the year. We've got a Huntsman Auto Oil Change, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for automobiles only. Or if you just want to call in and answer the trivia question, give me a call. 740-383-9944. Or does anybody have anything more to add to the conversation we've had this morning on coffee? What an interesting conversation it has been. Go ahead, caller.
For the, oh my gosh. Well, I can't think of the name. A business that's sponsored.
Oh, the charity ball?
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much. I don't know if this is considered a business or not. Would have been Marion General Hospital.
You know, that would be considered a business, but they, you know, I think they were a big sponsor of the ball, but they weren't the sponsor of our broadcast.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I didn't understand that because Millie Sonnenstein was so involved in that. And
yeah.
I got to think, and I thought, well, maybe it's Marion General Hospital.
Yeah, and Millie was still around back then. I remember going to a meeting with her.
Oh, yeah, she was around.
Yeah, so it was an interesting broadcast, but it's a local business that is still here in town. People could still go to this business today.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the question is, what local business was the sponsor of the radio broadcast of the last charity ball? Now, it's a local business that is still in business in Marion today. You could go to this business today. And this was 12 years ago that the charity ball, the last broadcast of the charity ball happened. As a matter of fact, it ended up being the last charity ball. But of course, the hospital and Twig and the whole group had a lot to do with that. Does anybody know the answer to this one? Go ahead, caller.
Was the local business Baldoff Lumber?
Not Baldoff, but that's a good guess.
Okay.
Thank you. Not Baldoff Lumber. Boy, they had a good long run with... who was the head of Baldoff Lumber? Gosh. His name slips right off. Mr. Baldoff. What was his name? I know after Baldoff closed, he went out and worked for Charlie Campbell for a while out at Campbell Supply. But no, it was not Baldoff Lumber. But that brings back a lot of popular memories. The question we are... looking for here, Ed Baldoff. His name was Ed Baldoff. There. Came to me. The synapse had to kick in there. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, how about Perkins Restaurant?
Not Perkins, but that's a good one, too.
All right.
Thank you. It was not Perkins Restaurant. We're looking for the broadcast... Who sponsored the broadcast, radio broadcast, of the final charity ball? Now, it is a local business that is still in business in Marion today. Not Perkins, not Baldoff. I guess Baldoff's not in business anymore when I think about it. Go ahead, caller.
Was the local business Wilhelm's Paint and Paper?
No. But that's a little closer than the other guesses. So that's close.
Okay.
Thank you. Not Wilhelm's. We're looking for... the sponsor of the broadcast of the final charity ball. And it's a local Marion business. It's a locally owned Marion business. And the business is still in business today. Does anybody know who sponsored the broadcast of the final charity ball? It aired on WMRN back in 2007. Madge Cooper and I were the hosts of it. It was called the Red Carpet Report. Who was the sponsor of that particular broadcast? Go ahead, caller.
Hey, that business for the charity ball, was that Henry Lumber?
Not Henry Lumber, but that's a good local business, too.
Well, the other one I thought of was Carl Graphics.
It wasn't Carl's Graphics, but it was... You know, it's kind of close to Henry and Baldoff Lumber. It's not a lumber company, but it's kind of in that area.
Uh-huh.
So keep thinking.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Now, this has been a local business for a long, long time here in Marion. Now, they were the only sponsor of the last charity ball. I do remember that. Interesting. So the question is, what local business sponsored the broadcast of the last charity ball? Now, it's a local business here in Marion, locally owned, that's still in business today. What would that business be? 740-383-9944. Also, don't forget, today at 4 p.m., it's your last chance to get tickets to the VIP reception Friday night, Friday the 13th, at the Marion Municipal Airport, Hangar Number 12, for Dr. Harold Brown, Tuskegee Airman, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m., and you can get your tickets, $50 a ticket, heavy hors d'oeuvres, Dr. Harold Brown's documentary. You can ask him questions, wingswheelsmarion.org. Go ahead, caller.
Was it Light Please?
Not Light Please.
Huh.
Thank you.
Okay.
It was not Light Please for the charity ball. But yes, the VIP reception, you have to have your tickets by 4 p.m. today. $50 a ticket, heavy hors d'oeuvres, Friday night, September 13th, out at Hangar 12, Marion Municipal Airport, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. wingswheelsmarion.org. Go ahead, caller.
Was it Sherwin-Williams Paint?
Not Sherwin-Williams. Thank you. Not Sherwin-Williams. What is the local Marion business that was the sponsor of the final broadcast of the charity ball and the final charity ball after 80 years back in 2007? The Red Carpet Report is what it was called. Now remember, when you buy a ticket to this Wings Wheels event, you can a ticket holder has the chance to win a ride in a P-51. So that's not a bad thing at all. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I have a guess on the charity ball thing.
Go ahead.
Was it Carl's Plumbing and Heating?
Not Carl's Plumbing and Heating.
Okay, I have one more.
Go ahead.
But I don't know if it's actually the same name. Danner Buick Company?
No, it wasn't a car lot.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
It was not a car lot, and it was not a lumber company, interestingly enough. But it is a local business that is still in business today. Not a car lot, not a lumber company. But they were the sole sponsor of the final radio broadcast from the charity ball back in 2007. 740-383-9944. Who was that local business? You could go to that business today if you wanted to. Go ahead, caller.
Was it Faye Bank?
Not Faye Bank.
Okay.
Thank you. Not Faye Bank. They certainly do a lot for the community, but it was not Faye Bank. Who is that local business that was the broadcaster or the sponsor for the broadcast of the last charity ball? Go ahead, caller.
Was it Bernhardt Insurance?
Bernhardt Insurance?
Yes.
Not Bernhardt. No.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Here to pick up a prize? Yep.
Ray Rudd.
Ray. All right. Let me get your tickets here for you. Zoo.
And Ryan Garno.
Was that Zoo as well?
I think.
Let me see here. Garno. Where is that? I know it's on here. Yep. Zoo. There you go. Thank you. All right, 740-383-9944. Does anybody know the answers to the questions we have on the table? Who was the sponsor, the local business sponsor, for the final broadcast of the charity ball radio broadcast? Local business, still in business today. Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. Also, do want to mention again, Wings Wheels Marion 501c3 is having their big dinner Friday night, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m., $50 a ticket. You've got to get them by 4 p.m. today, $50. Wings Wheels, wingswheelsmarion.org. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Yes.
Was it Wilson Bohannon?
Not Wilson Bohannon, but that certainly is a good guess.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Not Wilson Bohannon. Any more guesses on this? Who was the local business that is still in business here in Marion that was the sponsor of the final radio broadcast of the charity ball? 740-383-9944. Maybe this is the right answer coming our way. Go ahead, caller.
Was it Lord's Jewelers?
No, I don't think Lord's is in business anymore, is it?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, it is?
I mean, no, Carol's. I meant Carol's.
Oh, Carol's. I'm with... No, it wasn't... That's a very good guess, but no, it was not Carol's Jewelers.
Okay.
Thank you. Not Carol's. I can take one more guess today. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It is a local Marion business, still in business today. They were the sponsor of the last radio broadcast of the Charity Ball back in 2007. Can get one more call in today, 740-383-9944. Does anybody know? All right. This is going to be our final guess for the day. Let's see what we have. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, is it Wennings Plumbing and Heating?
Not Wennings, but that's a good guess, too.
Okay.
Thank you. Coming up later today here on WWGH Radio, we have the mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp and Ron Feynman coming up just after 10 o'clock. And then we have Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5. Mike Wilson Show, 5:10 to 6. Here today, all right. Oh, somebody, if that's you, call me back. Call me back. We'll get one more call in. 740-383-9944. I think I disconnected you. Give me a call back if that was you. 740-383-9944. Voice of a People with Linda Sims at 4 o'clock today. Mike Wilson Show at 5 o'clock. And Adam Lepp with Mid-Morning Coffee Break coming up after this show at 10 after 10. And a whole lot of other interesting programming right here on WWGH Radio. Last day to get your tickets for the Wings and Wheels fundraising event. Heavy hors d'oeuvres, dinner, Friday night, Hangar 12, Marion Municipal Airport. 4 p.m. today's the cutoff, Friday the 13th, Friday, September 13th. WingsWheelsMarion.org by 4 p.m. today. Doesn't look like our caller's going to get back in. I must have disconnected them and sent them away. No, maybe this is them. Let's try to get them in before the show is over today. Go ahead, caller.
Is it Tim's brother?
No. Good guess, though. I tell you what, we will continue this tomorrow on this show, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. every weekday morning right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. So come back tomorrow. Stay tuned. More programming right around the corner.
Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh.com. Keep an eye out for the WWGH.